Good to have all of you this afternoon. When I left Pittsburgh, it was drizzling. I don't know whether it'll reach Sanford or not. Thanks for the opportunity to share with you some thoughts from the water of life. We've had a great day, haven't we? I thought Jody had a very challenging lesson on John chapter 1. And Patrick, my wife, said, you did a good job. And I would say ditto. And you also look sharp. Vance, I always look forward to what songs you're going to select. And as we were singing this afternoon, I thought, if Jesus doesn't come, I want singing at my funeral. One of the songs will be Amazing Grace. Another song would be Victory in Jesus. And then it dawned on me, probably one a third song, so Give Me the Bible. Think about. Either way, it's going to be a great change, isn't it? If Jesus comes while we're living, or if we meet our appointment with death. Hope you have your sword tonight. First of all, I want to share with you three very familiar verses of Scripture. And I'll, at the beginning of the lesson, just identify them and read them. And then we'll use them in extending the Lord's invitation. So, let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. And I want to encourage you. I did it this afternoon. And I found it very interesting. But read the chapters. Read all of Acts 2. Oh, I know Acts 2. Really? So, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So again, read and really think about everything in Acts 2, the 47 verses, not only verse 38. Now, remember our question is, what do these verses have in common? Let's turn now to Acts chapter 8. And verse 22. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. So again, work with Acts chapter 8, all 40 verses. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Again, let me encourage you, read and meditate on 2 Corinthians 7. And it'll be a little shorter. That'll only be 16 verses. So, what do these verses have in common? I'm going to assume all of you are very smart. They all have in common, repent. did the Apostle Peter in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost to the believing Jews, did he say you need to repent and be baptized? Did the Apostle Peter again in Acts 8 to Simon the sorcerer? I like say Simon the magician. He used magic arts, witchcraft. It's evident he had obeyed the gospel. Did the Apostle Peter tell this erring Christian, you need to repent and pray? And then can you picture Paul writing to the church in Corinth? Again, you need to emphasize godly sorrow instead of worldly sorrow. You need to emphasize repentance. So that's what we want to think about this afternoon. What does it mean to repent? And I still have a copy of our last meeting. We might think, oh, that was ancient history. That was only 2 months ago, November of last year, 2016. And my conclusion was on that Saturday night, Don Blackwell shared with us one of the best sermons I've ever heard on repentance. First of all, this is the greatest book in the world. So what does it say, old and new, about repentance? Then I was talking with Billy. Brother Don referred to this book, Behold the Pattern by Global Music. And I agreed with Don, one of the best chapters on repentance in our brotherhood besides the book would be in this. And I still believe we cannot improve on Brother J.W. McGarvey. He thought about godly sorrow and God's goodness. And that will cause you to change, to repent. And the evidence of your repentance will be a change of life. This be a sideline. I still do not believe we can improve on his sermons on Joseph and Esther, with emphasis on the providence of God. And that was 1893. I can't even raise my hand. That's older than any of us. I still feel that the finest that's ever been produced. So, now, I'm going to try to remember. Don had 5 words beginning with the letter R. Word number one, receive. Is that repentance? Word number two, remorse. Is that repentance? Word number three, reverse. Is that repentance? Word number four, reformation. Is that repentance? And then I really thought about word number five a lot. Restitution. Is that repentance? So, again, my reaction was, that's one of the finest sermons I've ever heard on repentance. So that's what we want to emphasize this afternoon. Friday, I liked the inauguration. I wish I could have been there for every inauguration since I was old enough for it to have meant something. But I'm going to use the word if. If Hillary Clinton lied, does she need to repent? If Donald Trump mistreated women, does he need to repent? So, I think it's a very relevant theme. Do you need to repent? Do I need to repent? So, I came up with some other words. I liked Goebbels and Don's better, but receive information. Remorse, sorrow. That was wrong. But I did it. There needs to be godly sorrow. And when you read 2 Corinthians 7, I was impressed this afternoon. Godly manner. Can you picture Paul wanting the church of Christ in Corinth to emphasize a godly manner, godly sorrow? Is that repentance? I believe a lot are in our penal institutions because they're sorry they got caught. There's a lot of difference between being, hey, that was wrong. I'm also sorry I got caught for doing wrong. But could there be a difference? Oh, I'm sorry I got caught. I didn't do anything wrong. I just happened to get caught. Word number three is really repentance. I would use the word thinking. You reverse your thinking. Does God say it's right or wrong? Then reformation. If I really change my thinking and if I need to change my life, I'll do it, won't I? I like the reading this morning. You know, the negative, what you shouldn't do. And then the positive, what we should do. Reformation. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I can't even raise my own. I can't ever remember hearing a lesson on restitution. At least if I did hear a lesson, it didn't grasp me. That's part of repentance, isn't it? So I would use the word. It's in the old and the new. It's in the law of Moses. It's in the gospel of Christ. Repentance may mean restitution. Well, if I kill you, I can't restore your life. But if I stole from you, I could return that money, couldn't I? So, restitution. And I've also asked God, please forgive me. I've never preached on restitution. Now, we haven't been here long enough. I'm going to assume there's been a lesson here at Sanford on it. But that part of the lesson, restitution, that's part of repentance. Have we restored restitution? Now, let's go back to our opening verses as we extend the Lord's invitation. In Acts 2, what was the Apostle Peter trying to do? Was he trying to convert these devout Jews to Jesus? I still ask, what did the Jews in Acts 2 have to repent of? He told them, you need to repent. And of course, we generally emphasize, which we should, but he then said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. What did they have to repent of? Because Luke says they were devout Jews. They're in Jerusalem for one of the main feasts, the day of Pentecost. This is the first Pentecost following the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. What did they have to repent of? I'll give you two answers. As you read Acts 2, check to see if they're correct. Number one, generally, they had to change their thinking about Jesus. Didn't they? He's not a liar. He's not a lunatic. He's the Lord. He's not just a good man or a great teacher. As Jody shared with us, he was the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one that heaven sent. And then in addition, he was the Son of God and King of Israel. Now, did a lot come to Jerusalem believing it's the law of Moses? And I don't know whether that Jesus is really the Messiah or not. Do they have to change their thinking about Jesus? And then I wonder, based on the text, there were some in the audience that had cried, crucifying! Was that right or wrong? Crucified Jesus of Nazareth, right or wrong? So, some had to repent of that or change their thing. Hey, I should have been crying, save, adore, respect, enthrone. But I cried, crucify. I view in Acts 2, Peter is saying, if you want to be pleasing to God, you not only need to believe in Jesus of Nazareth, but you need to repent, change your thinking about him, and be baptized. So, I was looking over the audience. There might be someone here this afternoon. That's what you need to do. You need to obey the gospel. And that includes repentance as well as baptism. Now, if God says it one time, I believe that's important. But I also believe there are some sections of Scripture that are really weighty. Acts 2 would be one of them. I agree with the late James Bales. He wrote a book, The Hub of the Bible, Acts 2. Think of it, all before Acts 2 and all after Acts 2. That was the beginning of some very important things. So, Acts 2. You need to become a follower of Jesus. You need to obey the gospel. Now, in Acts 8, I would say that's another very important chapter. Are you an alien sinner? Need to obey the gospel? There's the conversion of the Samaritans. There's the conversion of Simon the sorcerer, the magician. There's the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. Is that what people in Sanford still need to do in 2017? What the Samaritans did? What Simon did? What the Ethiopian eunuch did? If you listen carefully to that reading, there's the Apostle Peter. He has a message for Simon, who has obeyed the gospel. He used some rather direct language, didn't he? We would say, oh, so what? All he wanted to do when he saw the power of Peter and John, and he wanted to buy it with money, what was so bad about that? But Peter said, your heart's not right. You're wicked. You need to repent and pray. So there's the law of pardon for the erring Christian. Need to repent. Don't need to be baptized again, do you? But you still need to repent and pray. So did Simon need to change his thinking about what he had just done or requested? Now, if we're not careful, we might say, well, that doesn't relate to me. What did Paul want for the church in Corinth? Godly sorrow or worldly sorrow? Something that you regret? Or did he want Corinth to emphasize repentance that will produce salvation? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Would you like to have been a member at Corinth based on the first letter? All of the problems they had? Did they need to change their thinking? Some of the things they were doing were not right. Oh yes, they were still the church of God. But did Paul emphasize they needed to repent? Change their thinking? Do we ever need to change our thinking? Even today. Do some here at Sanford need to change their thinking? Which is another way of saying repent. So maybe that's the application this afternoon. Some obey the gospel, like in Acts 2. Others ask for prayer, come back up. Remember, Simon asked the Apostle Peter, well, I want you to pray for me too, will you? When you ask for prayer, sometimes that includes repentance, doesn't it? And then, would there be times when we all need to change our thinking? Vance, I thought you did a good job this morning and again tonight. I like the song. Is it Harry or Jesus? Now, my observation is, generally, we skip verse 3. Less of self and more of thee. You think we had a manual. If there's more than 3 verses, skip the 3rd one. And have you ever noticed? It's not as pronounced now, but it used to be. It didn't matter where you went, the prayers sounded the same. You think we had a prayer manual. I believe if we're honest, and I'll include myself, in fact, I'll even raise my hand, less of Harry and more of Jesus. Now, the goal is for me to be able to say none of Harry and all of Jesus. I haven't even arrived at that. It's more of Jesus than it's ever been. But, and I like last week, we had the song at Siler City for the giving, "All to Jesus I Surrender." Songbook there and here. It's all to Jesus I surrender. Now, our question is this. How do you need to respond this afternoon? Obey the gospel? Ask for prayer? Change your thinking so it's more like what God and Christ and the Spirit, the Word, the emphasis there. One of my goals was, the last time I spoke, let's just say we push six. According to the clock in the foyer, it's 6:15. So one of my goals was, that was too long. So I don't think we're going to have a protest, are we? Preacher stopped at 6:15. Seriously, though. What's your resolve going to be? Your decision this afternoon. If you need to come to Jesus, we hope you will. Well, we ask you to stand and we sing.